call to order. The August 25th, 2014 regular meeting will now come to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mrs. Stecker, roll call, please.
Here.
Mr.
Alter.
Here.
Mr. Bochensky.
Here.
Mrs.
Nelson.
Here.
Mr. Ellis.
Here.
Mr.
Estalante. Here. All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a new school year. I'm going to start off with a statement that the Board of Education has made on its website. You can find it on the website. On Monday, August 11th, the District 41 Glen Ellen Board of Education closed session meeting on the topic of land acquisition was recorded as required by the Illinois Open Meetings Act and inadvertently posted on the district's website. During the closed session, District 41 Board of Education recapped a conversation that was held between the Park District and District 41. The school and Park District's meeting was an opportunity to brainstorm ideas and to see if there were any synergies that the two entities could capture by partnering on land that would benefit the entire community. The school and Park District both believe that all ideas should and must be vetted. District 41 greatly respects the Glen Ellen Park District leadership and is thankful for their continued support, collaboration, and partnership. District 41 sincerely regrets that the closed session audios was posted and has taken the necessary steps to ensure that this error will not occur again. Wanted to make sure that that statement was read into the record. I also went to the Park District and read the statement as well. And in our conversation, they reiterated the relationship that we have and that it's important and they want to continue it as well. We've also had correspondence from Dr. Gordon around the process and improve the process so that that doesn't happen again. So thank you, everyone, for that. Okay, public participation. We have a slide now that goes with public participation. So this is where we're starting off our new approach to public participation. As you guys remember, the initial public participation will be around non-agenda items only. We don't really have any discussion items today, so we will not have the public participation after a discussion item just because there aren't any, but obviously the next time that we do have discussion items, we will have the public participation or public comment as we had discussed it. So non-agenda items only. I have none to declare, so you guys can participate how you like. Please keep your comments to 3 minutes per person. If there are a lot of comments and you want to designate someone to speak to the group, please do so. Maureen will capture key questions that will be addressed in the next board meeting. And if any board member feels that we shouldn't commit time to certain inquiries, please speak up. And follow up, if feasible, will be provided at the next meeting. So that's the approach that we're taking. So, Maureen, does anybody have anything that they would like to say?
Angel, open. I just got this document and I wanted to speak on it, so I'm really all that prepared. But my kids came home from school today and brought the students use their personal technology document to sign. And I know we've worked on this, had lots of extensive conversations, and so I was prepared for side one. I was not prepared for side two. Side two, I really felt like this was the district saying it's not our problem and this is completely the parents' problem. It's just like a credit card statement that you're going to get. You're going to sign it. You don't even know what you're signing. You turn it in, and then if changes are made or other stuff is posted, it says here that you may not be notified immediately by the district of changes to the policy or related material, but yet it's your responsibility to make sure that you're complying with them and you're subject to the penalties. So I read this and my whole feeling was we've come nowhere from where we were 4 months ago. The same things can happen. Families can go through the same thing that my family went through, which was the reason that I dedicated all the time that I have, which has come at a very personal cost. And I really think that you need to revisit this because this is a mistake.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to address the board?
Jeff Cooper.
Mr. Cooper.
Good evening. Jeff Cooper, Glen Ellen. I've got a little laundry list here. I'll leave my biggest point till the end here, so I can't use some time for that. We've talked in the last several months about trying to take care of the questions that people such as myself have about gathering and follow up. The assistant principal Valerie that I brought up the last time, probably a month ago, I've still not heard word one about what I brought forward that was said during the June 2013 meeting, how it was supposed to be taken out of the budget. So I'm still waiting for that. I don't want to go over the whole weekend tonight, but can we please handle that? Okay, that's not going to go away. I'll be here until the number for that. The second question, or second item is, back in February, I was at a policy meeting, and there was supposed to be, I thought, a trip form that was going to be generated for a total cost on any trips that were taken by people in the district. So, for instance, like a Colorado trip, we might have individually and then everyone on the form that we would know in a minute 18 people went somewhere and ran, between all the differences, $14,000 or whatever. But when I've asked in the last couple of FOIAs, it doesn't seem like that trip form exists. So if I can find out if that just did not get approved at the policy meeting or if it hasn't, just hasn't been approved, I appreciate that. Third, just like clarification on this, I read somewhere in a FOIA item that the cost for the board members going to the III conference in November, it appears, is borne by them. And if that is the case, I say kudos, but I'd like to know that if it's the case, I'm not sure. So, because the district has not been capable of receiving and answering emails over the last month, that's why I'm standing here asking, and should have been able to answer in the last 3-4 weeks. I guess the last or next last item here. On the front page of your website, you've got something called the Transparency Project, where it says District 41 believes in doing everything. It's an absolute word. Everything possible to make information easily available to all stakeholders. And I've been playing with the district these, what I would call cat and mouse games for, since the start of the year, on these Colorado trips. Last time I was here, I had just found out about the second trip that the people from Colorado came here and spent, and we paid as taxpayers for them, teaching our teachers and administrators and so on. I don't understand why they didn't fly out here longer, but so that was trip number 4. People sitting next to me from the district, they were aware that when I was standing up here and making my points, there had already been a trip 5 by one of the administration who went overnight to Colorado in a very short time frame right before that meeting. And apparently now I've been told there's a trip number 6 where the same 3 people from Colorado came back here, and it's running us thousands of dollars now because I guess they spent most of a week here somewhere in the last 3-4 weeks. So, you know, the Transparency Project, why don't we take it off the front page of the site, and then my trust level will be where it is right now, and there won't be any faux Transparency Project, which doesn't seem to exist, because we're trying to hide things. We're trying to make people like me spend time trying to find out what the heck is going on with our money. So that's what is on my mind tonight. Okay, let's if we're going to be transparent, let's be transparent. And on the meeting from 2 weeks ago, I would like to say it was nice for the bonus transparency that we got to see what goes on behind closed doors. It was very interesting for what was said from the people who said it. And it was interesting for what was said for the people you were dealing with, because most of us are taxpayers for both districts. So I don't believe for 2 seconds that they're innocent, that they weren't looking to possibly sell anything. And from what I've heard, for policy to be discussed at these meetings is supposedly, I guess, not according to Hoyle. So,
okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
find out and ask a question regarding the whole menu situation for particularly Abraham Lincoln School. That's where my girls go to school. At the end of last year, I found out because my kids started talking about it. I'd never heard anything from administration or anywhere else, and I come here often. And my daughter, and then I started asking around, said that they are doing menus and that they are doing away with large classroom instruction. Their teacher said that that was something that was being, they had to do it. Those were the words that my daughter used. And I don't think that's happening in other schools. I've talked to other parents, and that really bothers and worries me. I think that's another change added on to all the different changes that we've been going through, which in my opinion are a lot. So I just wanted to find out if that is true, if we're doing away with large classroom instruction and we're doing menus. Is that happening at all the school levels? Is this an Abraham Lincoln thing? Why aren't we told about it? Because that's what my daughter's last 3 months of, and it didn't sound like her teacher was very excited about it, to be honest. The way my daughter, and I started asking around, it sounded like that's what they were told, that that needed to be done. So, and I'm just not happy about how everything happened, so that's my comment and my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I forwarded what I'm going to read to the board last week on August 19th, but I'll read it so that it goes on public record. The quote from the minutes, the BOE directed Dr. Gordon in the following manner. Outcomes and direction to administration. The board determined that the definition of a right-sized school is a school that comfortably accommodates its students and instructional spaces and infrastructure and identified spring and spalling as site options to pursue. The board directed the administration to refine its work on Spalding and asked for more information on the Spring Avenue property and full day kindergarten. Dr. Gordon said that the administration will provide the additional information requested at a future meeting. In this meeting, Newton Park was discussed and was not considered a viable option by the BOE and was removed from the paper. As I have attended every board meeting since May 5th, what has changed? There's been no further discussion or updates since then. When did the discussion occur to change the strategy from the Spring Avenue to Newton or Ackerman? Since these site locations were discussed in open meetings, shouldn't the change in direction also be discussed in open before land acquisition is discussed? For saving of time, you guys have the rest of it, but I'm just trying to figure out what occurred from that meeting to what I heard in closed session a week or two. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Stephanie Clark.
Hi. Well, first day of school, I know my kids were very excited about the new year, seeing friends and meeting their teachers today, and I wanted to say thanks to the teachers and staff who worked hard to make it a great first day. I'm hopeful for a great year for all of my kids, and part of my hope is that we're going to continue to monitor the progress of the major initiatives implemented last year. As the board knows, a group of parents met with Dr. Gordon and asked several questions surrounding the progress of the district. So I have a few questions for the committee tonight. My first is, what is your role with the initiatives that the district implemented beginning last year? Last year it was promised that this initiative would be evaluated for fidelity, impact, and satisfaction. I realize that most of the decision makers who promised this are no longer sitting in this room, but I still believe it needs to be done. This was a controversial change for our district, not just because the parents had questions, but your teachers did as well. The teachers that are the heart and soul in our district that the parents admire and respect. And if you have read the survey from the spring, it is clear that the teachers still have questions and concerns. So as a parent, I have to stand before you and ask you to fulfill your responsibilities as board members and oversee the progress in academic achievement and students' social and emotional experiences. And that you need to be sure that we're making progress to close the achievement gap and educate each student to their potential via the academic program and curriculum here in D41. So how is this going to be done? During the last year, there were only two think tank updates, one in August and one in April when the survey results were presented. That was it. That data was available in May. Shouldn't the data have been shared as it came in versus waiting until the next school year? Are you going to ensure there's more regular updates this year? Do you plan to follow up and address the concerns from the survey this past spring? Are you going to conduct follow-up surveys? What is the plan and process to address social and emotional concerns of students? Second and third graders weren't surveyed because they were too young, and we were promised that survey data from parents and teachers would be taken into account for that item. So what are you doing with the hundreds of pages of survey comments? And I'm not saying that it's the board's job to take action on those. I know it's not. But as my representative, I believe it's your responsibility to make sure that my, as well as other community members' comments are addressed. I'm led to believe that Dr. Gordon is in charge of this initiative now, which makes complete sense, even though this vision was approved by the board. And if that's the case, then the DOE should not be saying what I heard in April, which was we have to keep moving forward no matter what for the next 5 years. Even though the vision has passed the board, we still need to be representing the best interests of the students as well as your constituents and the tax dollars with a critical eye. I feel like you were quick to change the vision and add PBLs at a pretty hefty price tag of $200,000. I'm not saying that PBLs are bad. It seems like a great experience for kids. But when several other changes were already in place and we were worried about falling test scores, shouldn't we have asked for the data lab to demonstrate that PBLs would narrow the achievement gap before approving that expenditure? Was it worth adding another variable to our way of teaching when we hadn't even evaluated the new initiatives already in place? So how will we ever know what's making the difference? Just to give an example, we spent almost $100,000 on substitute teachers last year for all these planning sessions, which were not part of the think tank plan, to get the teachers up to speed on the poorly launched initiative that wasn't supposed to cost us a penny. This is no fault of Dr. Gordon's. He was not in charge of the implementation timeline. He wasn't even here when that was put in place. But my point is, a poorly thought-out plan can end up costing us a lot of money. My next question, who are we emulating? I feel like we're quick to change it less than a year into the game. Think Tank was researched for over 18 months. We modeled ourselves after Waukesha and Schaumburg. We spent money traveling to these districts and having educators come to us. When the administration was asked why we weren't looking at local districts that performed higher, since Schaumburg was actually a lower performing district, such as Hinsdale or even New Trier, who actually followed the multi-age specialization model, we were told that the think tank did their research and scoured the country in the best districts to model ourselves after we found. So I would like to know when Adams 12 became our model school, if think tank didn't identify them. Our new manual here, the District 41 model, is partnered with Adams 12, and I know this is Dr. Gordon's home district, but I'm just not sure that if it should be the district we should be modeling ourselves after. Their demographics and rankings and report cards. Another question is about teacher specialization. I'd like to know if the model or the schedule is driving it. There's several teachers in our schools who are not specializing this year. They are teaching both late and same. I would like to know how this is possible because we were told the rigor of the curriculum is so intense it's mind-bogglingly difficult for teachers to teach all subjects. So how is this equitable to those teachers and students? And I also wonder if class size and number of sections is being driven by the model or what's best. First grade, for example, varies at schools greatly. One school has about 17 kids in a first grade class. I know another has about 23, which is even more than our recommended target of 20 to 22.
Okay,
so
thank you.
So we make sure that the outcomes are fair and equitable to all stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Kevin Grant.
It was 1 year ago tomorrow that I spoke before you all and started out with compliments, so I thought I should do the same start this school year. I'd like to thank the administration for putting in the effort to make teacher assignments viewable online rather than in the mailing from the post office. It was an idea that I mentioned at that meeting last year, and whether that direction is moving in that direction is moved now, but I think it might be nice to find out how much money we saved by moving it online. And now for something completely different. I wasn't going to say anything about the week audio because I don't believe in piling on. However, because my wife's name was dropped, I feel that it is important that I defend and support her. I know this will sound cliche, but it is true. Respect is a two-way street, and it starts with the age of you. From the stay-at-home moms and dads driving horses all the way down to the parent holding two jobs to help make ends meet and support the rock and roll lifestyle known as living in Glen Ellen, we all have the same goal. We want not just the best, we want the best education for our children. Yes, we may not agree, but that is the beauty of democracy. We work together to achieve our goals, not against each other to hold one another back. The lack of respect toward the community and each other has been on the rise recently, and it really seems like this district becoming more of an oligarchy every year. The power of a few wants to tell the community how things ought to be. There might be events to engage the public that are called listening sessions, but when numerous people attend them, not to mention the many who probably email or talk to you privately, argue against the point about carrying a cell phone around school, it hardly seems fair that you would agree with a couple of teachers that the kids should have them because of compelling reasons. And for those of you listening on the audio, compelling is in air quotes. It's difficult to keep coming back meeting after meeting knowing that what I and many others think is common sense is blatantly ignored, minimized, or worse yet, made fun of. What is truly the most enlightening is a quote I believe Dr. Gordon put in the letter to our teachers that was made available on the district's website. In part, it says, failure is something we can avoid only by saying nothing, doing nothing, and being nothing. This couldn't be farther from the truth. Encouraging our teachers to fail for the sake of building them up is absolutely wrong. The only reason this district got to where it is because of teachers and parents like me who speak up, do what is right, and stay involved in the education of the children. Not my children, all children. I have a simple five-word credo that I encourage the board to remember throughout the year as these programs and subsequently this administration is being evaluated. It stood the test of time and held up extraordinarily well, and it goes like this. Failure is not an option.
Thank you.
Alicia Hopper.
Hi. I'm an Abraham Lincoln mom, and just wanted to express my disappointment in the district. On my child's first day of school, there aren't enough desks in her classroom for the kids in her class. Pretty sad when a kid goes into the first day of school and there's nowhere for them to sit. And the teacher tells them, we don't know where we're going to put you. You knew on Thursday or last week there were 27 or 28 kids in that classroom. You should have had 27 or 28 desks. It's a very disappointing thing for me. I have no faith left in the district to be prepared for the first day of school or for anything.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, thank you. All right, moving on to the presentation reports and initiatives. There are no presentations or reports scheduled for this evening. Discussion items, there are no discussion items scheduled either. Action items, the consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources personnel report, employment recommendations, resignations, internal transfers, finance facilities and operations, treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, vandalism report, disposal of surplus property, 2014-2015 FOIA report, school district payment order, August 6th through August 19th, and other matters, approval of board meeting minutes, August 11, 2014, public hearing and regular meeting, August 11, 2014, regular meeting, closed session. And motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Roll call?
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Bochensky?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr. Esperanto?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, superintendent recommendations. There are none, correct? All right, superintendent's report.
As it was noted earlier, it was the first day of school. What an amazing day with kids and parents and staff members throughout the district. It was an absolute pleasure to be out with the students and the parents as they were excitedly getting their kids ready for their first day. The kindergartners were way too cute. This young lady, she looked like she was about this big, and she had just this little Mickey Mouse lunch pail. She was ready to go. She was so excited. Got a lot of fist bumps over at Hadley. The kids were excited. The sixth graders coming in. I was able to make my way over to Hadley, over to Churchill and Forest Glen. Tomorrow I'll be able to give you over to Lincoln and Ben Franklin. But I think for here the pitchers speak volumes for what was occurring in each and everyone. What a great shirt that young man's wearing. And I didn't take that picture.
Got to do another job there.
Yeah, Mary. This is one of my favorite pictures. What's going on? The Franklin Library, which I'll address here in a second.
Yes.
So you can see, just a great day. Want to point to a low light highlight over at Ben Franklin. We had a water main break that occurred on Friday morning. We're really not sure at what time, but we were notified roughly around 6:10 in the morning. Dave Scarmato was on scene shortly after there, who then called in ServPro, who was there shortly after Dave. And I'm going to let Dave and Jack kind of talk through the details of what occurred. But I want to say, I was over there Friday, and I thought there was no way we were going to have school today. Walking the library was an absolute, it was crazy. We had books off the shelves. The water, you walked in, you're stepping in the water. You go down to the basement. The basement is filled. Huge kudos to Dave and Bob and Dave's team, the custodians who and the B&G guys who worked each and every day from 8 to 8, if not later, to ensure that this building, that Ben Franklin, was up and ready to go and to welcome all kids in all spaces were available for students. So with that, an incredible amount of gratitude and thanks to the two of you and all the other teammates. Dave, Jack, I'll hand it over to you guys to kind of talk a little bit more about the details that occurred. I don't know who wants to go.
I'll go first. Yeah, it was about 6:10 in the morning. I got a call from the milk man. He had just delivered the milk and said that there was a little bit of water in the gym that we want to maybe address. So immediately I called Adam from FPC and using my hands-free device, of course. And so Adam was able to get, he was on his way too, he was just about there. When we finally got to Franklin, it was about 6:15, and when I got out of the truck, the water was just streaming down the driveway, and it smelled very chlorinated, so I knew it wasn't storm water that was what I originally thought leaked into the new construction doors. So we went and looked inside the building, and there was water in the gymnasium, the NPR, the library. It was down in the boiler room, so the electrician happened to be on site there. We turned off the power to the building, went back outside, jumped in the water, and we were able to turn the valves off by hand so the water was not coming. So we knew it was an existing water main that they were working on for the new construction that had blown gasket, basically. So next, Bisbing was called. They were the contractors that was working on the 6-inch water main. They were out there right on the spot. I called Billy Miller from the village. The park district called me and asked if we needed any help pumping anything out. But we already had about 6 pumps in the water and got that down in a couple hours. Then ServPro was called. Management brought a dumpster. We got our staff there probably by 7 in the morning. Everything. We basically had to move all the bookcases in the library where there was drywall. They did a flood cut. They took up about 2 feet of drywall around all the perimeters of the library, down the hallways. In the classrooms, the wooden baseboard was removed. There were fans, dehumidifiers. There was a lot of equipment in that building by 10:30 in the morning. There. They had ServPro, I think, 3 crews. They had about 20, 25 people there. So, and then we had all our staff there just kind of. There was more damage in the boiler room because there were things, you know, all our supplies were down there. So we got all that stuff cleaned up. They kept doing water tests. Insulation was removed. They sanitized and cleaned behind the drywall and the metal channel studs, all the pipes on the floors, the the tile was washed several times. And the good thing was it was drinking water, so it was chlorinated. So everything they were pumping out was just about as clear as it was in the building, so we were pretty fortunate there. So by Sunday, they started installing all the drywall, and they did a fire tape, put the bookcases back. All the library books were put back on the shelf. They kept doing moisture checks, and we were back there 4:30 this morning and putting the library together. So it was done by 6. So it was a lot of
that picture. Yeah, was at 8:15 this morning, somewhere right around there. Probably a little earlier than that, 7:30.
Makes me feel like applauding.
Yeah, they absolutely. That's Dave and his team are rock stars. They just did an amazing job. Jack, anything you wanted to add to it, or is it a good summary?
Yeah, no, that was great, Dave. I can't say enough about Dave and the entire crew. I mean, there was a lot of outside help from ServPro, but it couldn't have been opened without this crew. No way.
No.
So it really went above and beyond, and it's Allcat. Is that his name?
Yeah.
At Franklin. He's the pet custodian there. You've got a real gem.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, I'll tell you. He's a superstar. He has the best demeanor, never panicked, everything just, yep, we're going to do that, we're going to do that, we're going to do that, we'll get it done. And he did. It was fantastic.
Well, on the 2 days before the water main break, we had the water shut off to do the work on it. He had to do the water testing, so we were down for about 24 hours, so we had to do a fire watch. So Alcat and one of his other guys were there 24 hours in shifts both those nights, you know, making sure that everything was okay. And then we had the water main break, so they had an extra 2 days of long days. So.
Okay. Thank you. Very well done. Policy 900, Section 2, the administrative procedure. We hope to get that out to the community late tomorrow afternoon. Pleased with the document. Internet safety, August 28th. That one is geared mainly for the Hadley parents. And then September 2nd is geared for the elementary parents. You're more than welcome to go to either one if it doesn't work within your schedule. But the 28th is a little bit more geared toward the junior high kids. September 2nd is geared for elementary students. Both are going to be at the Hadley Library at 7 o'clock, and Officer Bean will be doing the presentation. So we're very excited about that. Launching social media on Facebook and Twitter accounts. I'll hand it over to Erica to talk a little bit about that.
Super briefly, so for the first time that I'm aware, we're going to be doing some outreach on Facebook and Twitter for the district. And also we have Superintendent Gordon tweeting as well, so it'll be kind of fun. So some of you saw me taking pictures, we took some of the pictures here. We're always going to ask for permission from the parents if it's okay if we take pictures. A lot of the pictures that we're posting, the ones I did today, were pictures with the parents themselves, so I have that top of mind. But this is, we're trying it out, so I really love all of your inputs if you hear anything about it. But it's just kind of a fun way to build some spirit around the schools and to share information, to let you know about things like the internet safety nights, let you know when the board meetings occur. And so from this morning, we didn't have anyone really on Facebook with us, and we have 53, I think I just checked before. So in one day, we have 53 people knowing a little bit more about what's happening with the district. We're doing the same with Twitter, and I think it's really great that Dr. Gordon is willing to put himself out there and tweet too and kind of share his experiences here at the district. So let us know how it's going.
One last piece. Through our, you know, about our online registration, which was a huge success. We hit, you know, our goals of 97% of all families registered by that June timeline. We did the same piece with collecting all fees. We're at 97% of all families paid fees. Just really pleased with the work that the team here, of Nancy and Mary Lou and all of the office teams coming together to really make that a possibility. So I appreciate that. Appreciate the parents working with us in each and every one of those situations. So with that, I'm done.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Board reports, anybody?
A couple of things that throughout the summertime. One was a WebEx that was done through the National Student Association. That was through Frantic and Redolab, which Dr. Gordon was on. It was on August 4th. And the two legislators, Senator Andrew Menard and Senator Daniel Bliss, who are the developers, I guess I would call it, of Senate Bill 16, which is education funding reform, did a really nice webinar. I listened in on it, and I texted it. I think you said you were going to do it. So they did download the PowerPoint from it, and it's really good information. And again, I think a driver around our budget, and as we're thinking about some of the things we've talked about with school fees and that type of thing, to have some awareness of where they think this is going, both very articulate and well facilitated too. So just good information. So that's available on the IASB website as a download. The other thing is we have all got an invitation by Congressman Roscoe to come to a roundtable that had to be rescheduled. It was back in August, so it's been rescheduled. I know we all got this for September 2nd. Yeah, 5:30 to 6:30, just out in West Chicago. So I had RSVP'd that I'd be able to go. So I think it's good to have some visibility, but also just to listen to see what his perception is of the district from a federal level, and to also share some of our statistics around the district in terms of changes in our demographics, our school lunch program, that type of thing, which, just as a quick aside, there was a really interesting article today in the Daily Herald about the Northern Illinois Food Bank, and this statistic struck me as we talked about, you know, our decision around adding breakfast, apparently, and what they quoted was that 77% of the people that get extra food support in DuPage County in this area have someone who's been working in their household 12 months. So these are, there's a, you know, this view, I think, of need in terms of being food dependent, but it's much broader in our district. So those kind of things, I think, will be interesting to hear what other schools are going to bring to the table with Congressman Roscoe. So if you have anything you want me to bring up, or I don't know if anybody else is able to go, can you go?
Yeah.
We'll see what he says. But I just think it's good visibility for the district. And also, especially with education funding reform, just this idea that, you know, well, you don't have to worry about anything, you know, in District 41 or 87 or whatever, but, you know, we all know from a budget standpoint, we're always looking at every dollar, so we'll do that. Just a quick update. I know you know and have supported our work with District 203 Naperville around legislation on mandates. And I met this summer at the end of July with Deanna Sullivan, who's a general counsel for the Illinois Association for School Boards, and then Kristen Fitzgerald as well, who's our counterpart on the board in 203. And so at this point, we're focusing on four documents, and I'll have these sections just to send to you via email through Dr. Gordon. And the first one is to do a background section about the need for communication and budget pressures on schools, especially now with funding reform being talked about. The second is to explain the current law. What does the Mandate Act require of municipalities, schools being a part of that? There's a real disconnect in some of the legislators I've talked to about what is required or not in terms of fiscal information. Some of the deficiencies in the current law that resulted in our interest in doing this. And then the last one is how our bill would ameliorate some of these problems and get legislators the information they need before they write the legislation, and that's really the goal. Like, what, from a district perspective, are the costs of this, whether it's transportation or everybody needs AED training or whatever it might be, and so we'll get that out ahead of time. So I'm hoping to have all that back, and then I can get some, information out to you guys, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
I want to put in a plug for our president. I went to the kickoff breakfast for the faculty and staff at Hadley. I know a lot of the rest of you were there too. Mm-hmm. And John gave a speech that was almost a tearjerker there, but I thought he did an excellent job, and you got the crowd going there really well. Basically, he lined out his experience within the district about raising his own kids and coming up through the district. And I think we've all, well, some of us have been there, some of us are going through it now. But it was certainly well received, and it was a great event that day, and you could tell everybody was pumped up. The other thing I'll give is that we already clapped for Dave and Jack, and I think Jack has left. But if you saw what Friday looked like at Franklin, and then we walked through it on Sunday afternoon to make sure that it was going to be okay for today, it was shocking the difference that a couple of days made. And when he's talking about drywall and stuff, we're actually talking about cutting all the drywall off of this room and having it all back and looking right by the time they got in there on, you know, well, by Sunday night. So mm-hmm. It was tremendous effort. So thank you, Dave and Bob and everybody else who did that.
And kudos to Kirk, because when I walked through on Friday, I was driving by and was going to step in, but Dr. Gordon and the rest, they happened to be there. And Kirk was just very focused, you know, wanting to make sure, you know, it was done. And it was the lucky part, and Dave, you didn't mention this, but you told me on Friday, was that down the middle of the hallway, because there's kind of a transition that kind of goes down slopes.
Yeah, the whole building goes to the south. So yeah. We're
right. How the building is, and that the value of that is that it all went into the basement, and most of it, and so that was a huge, you know, a save for the rest of the floor. So
we'll have to consider that design in the future additions and make sure they all lean one way.
All right, great. Thank you, Dean. Anyone else?
I need finance real quick. At the finance meeting at earlier today, we talked about a state and federal funding review that Bob presented for us. It's a question that, that some of the members on the finance committee had asked. We went through the investment options and investment policy, and kind of talked about certain different issues in terms of our investments. And we talked about the FGM renewal contract. That it's not ready; it's still preliminary, and there's more work to be done at finance for the next meeting. And that's kind of where we ended up.
Great.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Can I just raise a question?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks. I'm wondering what we're doing, or has it been done, in terms of answering the questions that are brought to the board meeting from the public? Mm-hmm. And I think that there were some questions that were raised in June, and I don't know, have they been answered, and do we have a procedure in place?
John's slide. John's first slide. Yeah. So
we started that. Well, the questions in June, I don't know if they've been answered or not, but today we got some questions. Maureen documented them, and next board meeting we'll report out on the ones that we
So the answers will be given in 2 weeks?
Let's go back to the slide so we can.
Okay. Yeah, and I think we should know if we've answered the things that were raised in June. And my memory is, it was my first meeting, and so it's a little hazy, but there was, I think people wrote down questions. Mm-hmm. And so, I just think it would be good to tie those listings if they're not tied up yet.
Great. Yeah, the idea in this public participation is that we'll follow up if we can in the 2-week period for the next meeting.
Can I ask a clarification on that, though? I mean, if it's a simple question, do you answer it in the interim and then just follow up at the board meeting if that was answered on 8/26? Or do we wait until the board meeting to get the answer? Just so I understand.
Well, since we're testing this process, the idea was, there were some things maybe we thought we could answer tonight and we didn't, and we just write them down and we'll go through them afterwards and decide what the process is. And if we do it one-on-one, then we'll let everyone know. And if we do it in the meeting, we'll do it in the meeting and then we'll know.
Gotcha. Thanks.
I mean, I understand we might need time to research and answer because it will be public record, and we want to make sure that the answers are accurate and we're not misspeaking off the fly. I understand that. I just think it would be good for all of us if we could, state the time frame, and as you said, this is an effort of doing something differently, and let's see how it goes. I think it's a good effort, and I think getting the answers back to people is something we owe. And I just want to make sure we're committed to getting that done.
Yeah, that's the plan.
That is the color of the
Okay, any other board reports? All right, terrific. So, upcoming meetings. September 8th, 2014, regular board meeting at 7:30 at Central Services. September 22nd, 2014, we'll have a new staff recent, I guess we mean reception, from 7 to 7:30 p.m. at Central Services. And the reception will be followed by a regular board meeting at 7:30 p.m. October 14th, my father's 80th birthday, 2014, regular board meeting, 7:30 p.m., Central Services. And October 23rd, 2014, special board meeting, 6:30 p.m., Central Services. Any other matters to be considered by the board? Anybody else?
So, John, when are, or Paul, or, you know, John or Paul?
John Paul.
Mary. When are we putting our local, I'll call them local school board meetings, Lincoln, Ben Franklin, Hadley, we're all in Central Services until October 23rd. Do we got a schedule for those yet?
All the school ones? Yeah, we...
No.
No.
Yeah, we
this was on my other two, Patrick, as we're looking at setting up the schedule. Where we ended was the principals would reach out to Paul to say,
yep,
we have something of interest, we'd like the board here tonight,
okay,
so let them determine their rotation.
Perfect.
For that.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Thank you.
But it was on my list to make sure that invitation is still out there. So
yeah,
it
is.
Are we thinking one school year or?
No, I'll try to get them in a couple times.
Okay.
So we were going to each school, I think, over the course of the year, and then I think in our last discussion we decided that maybe we would do one or two schools over the course of the year, but we weren't going to do them all, and we were going to make it up to the school to tell us,
yeah,
if they wanted us and when they wanted us.
Yeah, if all five schools want to do a rotation during a regular board year, then that's great. But just for the record, part of the reason that we had rethunk that is because the initial intention behind it 3 years ago was to go to a school so that there was better access for parents and staff to come. And slowly, you know, at the end of the meeting, you know, no one stays, you know, which is their, you know, prerogative, which is great. But I'd still like to see the principals decide to have us come out. I think it's a really good thing. So I want to encourage them.
And it was also, I mean, it was extra work for them, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever attended one of them.
The Ben Franklin one.
Yeah, so, you know, it was extra work, and we weren't,
yeah,
people weren't showing up. And so that's where the board landed. Anybody else? I just want to... I'm sorry.
No,
please.
But
no, please.
Okay.
Please.
Well, I got an email from Mary Kohler, who is the executive assistant at Rain Associates, which is the search firm that we used for the superintendent search. And they do an update of records and wanted to know if we'd be willing to be reference. And so before I responded to that myself, because I was the work of Tara on that, I wanted to just bring that back to the board. So it's simply writing our district down, notifying them that we used them, and we had already done, and I had vetted that through last year, just a note that said, yes, we did, et cetera, and we would be willing to be a reference. So if there's any issue with that, let me know. If not, I'll just let them know that they can keep us on the list as if, that we use them.
That's not anything we have to vote on.
No.
No, I just want your consent. So, yeah.
Any other matters? I do want to remind everybody that we do want to have a phase two discussion. And you heard from a few folks, I guess, in terms of what they want,
yes,
for that meeting.
Yes.
So hopefully everyone's got their input into Paul. And just a reminder that all-day kindergarten is one of the crucial questions that he would like answered so that he can move forward with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's the date? I know we have a date in October for...
I don't have a date yet. I'll be getting that out this week to you.
Yeah.
Or dates, too.
Okay.
choose from. I just know for a couple of board members, September is crazy.
Any other matters, please? Okay. Back to public participation. Are there any members of the public present who would like to address the board at this time?
I just want to say thank you, Catherine, for her statement about feedback. I'm too shocked and amazed by the communication. You're in a tough spot. You're sitting up there and you're dealing with the business aspect, and I get that. But this doesn't get any closer to home from a personal and emotional point of view from parents. I mean, these are our kids. And so parents that come to these meetings are often very emotional. It's not the boardroom for us. This is, you know, our world. It's our kids. And when a mom gets up and is very upset by the fact that her kid went to school and didn't have a chair, and not a single person up there apologized to her for that, I just think that we've lost the focus. And I really think that we need to be responding to parents who are coming up with direct issues, at least for those students. And again, you know, going back to the accessible use of technology, I want you to be prepared that, I mean, I'm not turning it in, not as it's written, because to me, this back part of my kids aren't going to bring personal devices to school. But I hold the school accountable for what they're exposed to, personal devices or other things that they need. And I want you to know that. And I'm not trying to. So rewrite this in a way that makes sense. And I will.
Thank you.
Maureen. Could I have two green sheets, Jen?
Please, go ahead.
Yeah. I was able to attend the Park District meeting, and I give a little shout-out to Johnny. He did a nice job apologizing for, you know, a couple of you were not present there, but apologizing for the actions of the board itself. I do believe the board owes an apology to the public for what occurred that night. The other thing, as I listened and taped several times, I suggested this before, I do believe you should have the attorney present so that you guys understand what you can and can't talk about. The other thing that I thought was interesting was that night we had a lot of discussion about how long we could talk to you, and you guys were, some of you were complaining about how late you were getting out of here. That closed session meeting technically should have lasted about 8 minutes, and you would have been out of here about 20 minutes earlier. So, those are my comments, but again, of all those, I think you guys owe us an apology. So.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Jim, I'm sorry.
I just want to echo what Ms. Wilkley said. This is wrong. If my son and my wife hadn't already signed it, I would encourage them not to turn it in either. Of all the numerous communications that we got over the last few days, I got a sky alert this morning, a knee blast as well, add on to the teachers who did this. I'm questioning, when was the AP written? If it was written in time to send this out, why not send it out with this? It's just going to be information overload if you're going to send it out tomorrow. That's all.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else?
Just, if I can just follow up, just a point of confirmation in Catherine's request. You know, I wrote down all of the comments that were made in public comment tonight. And one was, in fact, using quotes from an email that I did follow up with a friend of this, so I thank you for that, for following up with some of what I sent. But I want to make sure, because you and I were both away for that meeting when we talked about, or the board talked about, how it would be facilitated, that I could follow up with John so that I had clarification about what we'll be doing. And I do, I want, certainly for the record and the members in the public here, that it is important for us to follow up. And in fact, if Dr. Gordon meets with parents or there's other information, we are informed of that. We don't have a void between our 2-week meetings, and that we are informed of information that crosses back and forth. So I support our public participation, our discussion items, had comments. I think it's going to certainly provide opportunity. But I want people to know that it is the intention for us to reply and to our best ability, and whether or not that's accepted or not is something that we can certainly have a conversation about. But I think it is important for us to follow through with that and do it in a way that's appropriate. And that, in fact, there's lots of conversation in terms of updates and information, so that we're aware of that conversation going on as well. So we weren't here. I didn't get to kind of weigh in on that because I wasn't here for the meeting, but I want to do it now. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. So adjourn to closed session. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment of employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of the specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Allison.
Yes.
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 Yes. The board will not be taking action when it returns from closed session. All right, it's 9:13 p.m., August 25th. We're back in open session. May I have a
motion
to close the open session? Motion by Patrick Escalante. Second by Drew Ellis.
Sorry.
Roll call, please.
Catherine?
Yes.
Patrick?
Yes.
Drew?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Yes for Dean?
Yes for John Kenwood.
There we go.
We're closed.